This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Kate, I think we're in our series era. What do you think? Right?
We are.
We did the lawyer series. Now we're doing cultural flashbacks, where we're looking at the pilots for shows that are really old, but somehow making their way back into the consciousness, and they're worth taking another look at. Whether they were the one that paved the way or they were way ahead of their time, we're going to look at some of those.
Yes, I'm so excited for this. I feel yep. like we've talked about doing a few of them individually, but never really got traction. And some I've seen
That's right.
before, but you haven't, or vice versa. Like there's mm-hmm. some where I'm like, girls I've mentioned because I can't believe I've never seen it type thing.
Yeah.
And you have, or,
yes.
you know, but we didn't quite know how to do them. And then you said, what if we just look at the pilots? Because the other problem is you can't do something
go
five
back and
seasons
do right.
We can't do that.
And network TV in the 90s or the early aughts, I mean, they have just like 20 something episodes.
Yes.
We can't in one season.
Too much.
Can't do that.
So you said, what about the pilots? Let's just look at where they started and
yeah,
how they
and
feel
look at
now.
The framework of them and yes, and how they feel now and what we think looking back on it.
Yes.
For the time then, whether if we have that point of view, and if not, just now, what do you think?
Yes.
So we're going to start today with Felicity,
which is the one I was so excited about. I said to you, I was thinking of rewatching this anyway. I do believe an author mentioned it to us.
I do.
And now I can't remember who, because it's the story of my life.
I do remember. Was it Emily and Audrey?
Oh,
I can't remember. I don't know.
No. But okay. As soon as whoever said it, I went, oh, my God, Felicity. A young Carrie Russell. Just was like, I forgot how much I love that. Then we started naming other ones, and they all had girls in the title.
Mm-hmm.
But
that was a thing.
The ones coming in the series, clearly, you'll see girls is a big theme. But Felicity is just her name.
Her name.
And we're starting.
The name of a girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is J.J. Abrams.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yeah. It was his first foray into television, what some would call a brilliant mind. He went on to make Alias, Lost, and movies in the Star Trek and Star Wars franchise. I mean, he's still working today. He has had a very strong career, and this was his first foray into TV. He really was into Carrie Russell, which I am too, so I'll take it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you think is the appeal of Carrie Russell?
You know, it's funny you should ask that. I mean, I will answer,
but
I will read a review from 1998 when this aired.
Okay.
When a reviewer talked about this breakout star, Carrie Russell. And it says, this was from the opening week, again, in September of 1998.
Okay, wait, before you do your researched mm-hmm. answer, which I love, and I'm going to want to comment on, mine is mostly there's no answer. It's her enigmatic self, right? Mm-hmm. She is an enigma. You think you know her, but then something else. She's like that balance of masculine and feminine and open and authentic, but also completely secretive and hidden. And maybe I'm reading too much of this into this because she is a March Aries.
Oh, she is. That's right.
Now,
did you watch the Americans?
No, but we have gotten so many DMs about that show at Pop Fiction Women
I've watched the first season. And then why I didn't finish, who knows? But people view that as just like one of the greatest series of all time.
I love her.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I haven't seen that in a while. I watched that when it first aired, so that's been years now. So I actually haven't watched that much with Carrie Russell in it until I just watched her again now, and this is certainly the young Carrie
the Americans.
Russell.
I was thinking The Politician. Is that the one she's in now?
Oh, that's the one she's in now.
I was like, you watched all of that?
No.
No, okay, no, The Americans.
That's the one, you're right. That's the one she's in now.
Right.
But yeah, I do think it's that she has this girl next door thing that people like to say, but not. Like, that's
also
why I think in that one, her as a spy, it was perfect. She could transform into all these different roles. You know, kind of like Alias. It's making me think of another J.J. Abrams.
I know. So, well, he wanted her to star in Alias.
Yes, because I think that he became, they became sort of like a muse type thing.
Yeah, which I love. I love. Yeah. I want to be someone's muse, or actually, I want to have a muse. I want someone I want to write everything about. Sounds so good.
I know. Yeah. But this was her breakout, which star turn. And if she, it's called Felicity. I mean, if she couldn't carry it, this was going nowhere.
That's true.
And
all right, tell me. I want to hear.
Yeah, he said, of course it helps that its star, Carrie Russell, who plays the title character, is a truly radiant new discovery, someone who is instantly lovable without ever kissing up to the camera. She doesn't have to kiss up to it because it kisses up to her.
Ah,
and I think that's so true. Like,
love
just
it.
The camera loves her and her facial expressions, and just in this, because it's a coming of age, she's got that, just that hesitance and like bursts of confidence, and then back to the anxiety and insecurity, which is so appropriate for what she's going through and her age.
March
and,
Aries. I don't
know. Yeah. Oh, that too. Yeah. There you go.
Oh my God. I love it.
She was young Felicity, right? Young curly haired Felicity was starting at fictional NYU in this series in the fall of
University of New York.
Yes, but
yes,
supposed to be NYU. Okay. And young curly-haired Kate here was starting at that exact same time at Fordham Law School, and my first foray into living in the big city. And her picture was on billboards everywhere. I remember it. And
wow.
We had the same hair. I had longer hair then that was much more similar to her. And I just was like, I've never seen... It's ridiculous. I've never seen someone that looked like me. I mean, it's not really true, but the literally in a similar setting and going through this new academic experience. Obviously, she was younger and was starting college, but I was so into this show. Like, just sign me up.
Love it.
And I just loved it. I loved it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I related on a totally different level, but we'll talk about that maybe as we start to talk about the show.
Yes. Yes. Well, one of the things that that starts in the very opening scene is something that goes throughout the series that I love, which is this talking into the tape recorder, the her voiceover, and just his use of that or coming up with this device was so clever. I think
it
was just such a way to get into what she's thinking and allows it to be more introspective. And just different than, you know, writing a letter or whatever, just this talking into it. I loved that device throughout.
It felt so confessional and intimate, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love
like
that
Dear
too.
Like Dear Diary, but not. Yeah. And then there's also a little mystery. Like, I mean, not who she is. They tell you that it's her former French tutor, but it's a person who you then hear back from her, but you don't see her, you know. And so there's a little element of that mystery too.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you read who the voice was?
No, I did not.
Oh, it's Janine Garofalo.
Oh, it
is. Was the voice of Sally.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Dear
Good
Sally.
One. Yeah. Okay, so where do we want to start? With her seemingly horrible decision?
Yes, I think we should start with the premise. Yes, which is of the show.
Yeah, I actually forgot about the first, like how this all happens. I would argue it's not the premise of the show, but you're right. It's certainly what incites the show, which is basically a smile from Ben. I mean, a smile from Ben is like, I'm done. I'm going to throw away my entire plan to go to med school or be pre-med at Stanford, which is what on the day of graduation, like not a year before the day of graduation and instead go to NYU or University of New York and follow him and pursue the arts.
It seems crazy.
Yeah.
In the first, that's in the first 5-10 minutes, whatever, you're exactly right. And I also forgot that. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what? Wait a second here. Wait, he writes in her yearbook?
Yeah.
And that's it? She's done? Because he sort of suggested that he would have liked to get to know her better. But, and she, as you said, yeah, changes like the very, very well laid plans of that her parents and expectations and, you know, everything that they've had planned out for her. And I said to myself, is this crazy? Or because at first, if I at that point in the show, before we get to the end of the whole episode, I'm like, oh, my God, I did not remember this was a show about a girl following a boy.
Yes.
That she has a crush on.
And I got to tell you, I was watching it with my 12-year-old daughter and I was like, oh, I don't know if I want her to get this message.
Right. But then did you feel, you know, feel differently? Yes, I assume so.
Yeah, because basically I did it myself.
Yeah.
So I, was like, it seems hard to watch, but I know it's the best thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she says even then, and at that point in it, you know, I gave up everything my parents ever planned for me, everything I ever expected, all for a boy I don't even know. And that you're like, ooh, like we're saying. But, you know, she says to Sally, like, it might be a colossal mistake, as her father calls it, or who knows, it may save my life.
Yes. Yes.
And that's where I went, oh, you know what? Or it may save my life. It's like, you may, and that's, again, what you get through the whole rest of the episode is that this is so much bigger than that. It is her making a decision on her own. And that choice, her choosing herself and what she thinks she needs, as crazy as it may seem and whatever the impetus, then you're like, oh, all right. Like, I think I still need Felicity's advice.
Huh. I wonder if I think whatever the impetus, because I don't know. I just can hold the space for it being both. I mean, I am a hopeless romantic. I went to college for a boy. I just, I did. I mean, but I also went to a good college and one that when I went on tours and did my research, it felt like the right fit for me. But there's no doubt in my mind that I went for a boy. There's, and I think that, that both things can be true, that, that love and following love and doing stupid things for love are actually truly valid.
Right.
As long as they don't work against you, they will ultimately, even if the point isn't the love, the point is the discovery, the independence, what you learn about yourself. But I think both things can be true.
Yeah, although in your case, you actually were in love and she doesn't actually know Ben. But, it was for the prospect of love or the...
I don't know that that's different to me.
Yeah.
But I hear you. Yeah.
Yours feels...
It makes a little... Makes hers a little more... It's the TV version, right?
Right. But even in the first 5 minutes with her voiceover, you get the sense that this is not what she wants to do. And that there is... Meaning, Ben or not, like, she's having these reservations about everything being laid out for her and her having not made a choice of her own. Ever is what it seems like. So, so then I was like, okay, you know, I got it. But I was at first like, oh, I kind of forgot that guy. And then she gets and he can't remember her name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, Felicity. So, I don't know. She's just, there are parts I think you probably do relate with this whole.
But wait, can we just go back to like, what else could an impetus be? Because I don't know, to me love felt very important, but maybe
I thought it was freedom. I thought it was like being an like that's what's really driving this, a need to push back against
that's the other part, like the two things being true,
but I thought she that's wasn't what it was, and Ben just was the reason for her to then,
to
then listen to that part of her that's been talking to her, but she's been ignoring it.
I don't know. I think love is
powerful.
Anything
could have been the match. Yeah, no, it is. I just don't. She doesn't know him. I don't believe she's in love with him. I agree with everything you're saying, except I don't think those two are in love. She literally, at least based on what we're told, does not know him. So it is at best
the prospect of love.
Idea of love. That's what I said. The prospect of love. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. To me, I lump that under love.
Yeah.
I don't think it has to be. Because probably what we've figured out these definitions is always about timing. The prospect of love, the idea of love, I think of that as love. I think what you would call love, to me, I would call a relationship. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's just how far into it we are.
Yeah, but I could see if someone spent some time with someone and they think they're in love, but they're not yet in a relationship. The stranger's part, just, I don't even know how we get to, I mean, I think.
I don't know. Isn't that, everyone falls in love with strangers. I do all the time. Only people I've ever fallen in love with were strangers.
Right, but once you fell in love with them, they weren't strangers anymore. Like,
that's
you weren't in love with them when they were strangers.
I would call that. I don't know. I see strangers all. I live in a city with millions of people, and I don't feel that about them, about every person I see. And then sometimes I see someone, and it feels different. It is not the same thing. I know a lot of people are uncomfortable.
But I wouldn't call it love yet.
I know you wouldn't. I understand. I would.
Yeah.
I would call that doing, like, following love. That's what I would call it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or we can just say the idea or the prospect of it.
Sure. I think I'm willing to.
And she certainly, she does it. She goes.
Yes.
She's there. I'm not sure why she has to tell him that. Would you have done that scene in the beginning?
Yeah.
I feel like that's something I would do. I feel like you wouldn't. Okay, so you would. I just feel like it's totally oversharing, and she did not need to explain to him right out of the gate. As she was doing it, I would have done that. But I'm thinking, oh my God, would other people do that?
I'm such an oversharer in love.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So when that scene in the stairwell, I mean, I could see it. And at the same time, I'm watching it like, oh God, stop talking, Felicity, stop talking.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know what, she described it well there. She said she had intense feelings for him.
Yeah.
Whatever we want to call it, you're right. That's what she felt. And she said it was a crazy thing to do. And I sort of panicked and, you know, but I'm past that. It sounds like she's trying to, you know, convince herself in that.
Yeah.
But you would do that too. Okay.
Totally.
I thought maybe I was crazy.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh, hi. And then she's like, can we just be friends? Sure. Yeah. This is how it's going to go. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there was a love triangle. I remembered that part.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so then when we meet Noel, played by, again, Scott Foley, who went on to do all sorts of things as well. I was like, oh yes, we get this right out of the gate. I didn't remember that his feelings for her are so obvious right in this pilot episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that the pilot establishes the love triangle that will go on and be the hallmark of the show, like many great coming of age shows that we love. I can't remember what team I was on though.
Oh God. I was definitely Ben, but I don't
think
know.
I was too.
But I think I have, so full disclosure, I stopped watching this show after the first season. Yeah. I started the second season. I felt like it ended up, the love triangle ended up being too one note. Mm-hmm. And you know, unlike The Summer I Turned Pretty, I guess we should do some sort of like analysis. Yes, what's the difference here?
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't really ever, I actually didn't want either of them for her. And I was like, whatever.
Oh,
it didn't.
You remember that.
Yeah, oh,
I can't remember anything.
I just remember being bored by it and just not watching anymore. How long did you watch?
Well, I think, something happened and I read an article now explains it. Like it got, after its first season, it got, so it started on the WB. And it had a good time slot, like a 9 p.m. or something. And you know, back then with network TV, if you
that
moved
mattered.
Days or time slots, it could. So something happened. And then I think I did watch, because that's when she cut her hair, right? And then that caused a, talk about a cultural moment. That apparently some people believe like ruined the show, that nobody ever wanted to watch it again because she cut her hair. I mean, again, this, I knew this at the time.
Yeah.
But,
I definitely did.
So I must have watched further because the next season, I think, is when she cuts her hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. It's, is it the end of the first season or the, or do they allude to, no, I don't think so. I think it's just the first episode of the second season that, mm-hmm. but that's when, yeah, I mean, I watched that episode too. And the hair thing is ridiculous.
Now that I was reading that,
I felt like the love triangle just wasn't good enough.
Right. Interesting.
I wasn't into either of them.
But it really is a hallmark. Like Dawson's Creek, you know, Pacey or Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could do. This is a spinoff episode of Love Triangles.
The Love Triangles, yeah.
The Love Triangles, yeah.
Yeah.
What else? What else did you, what struck you? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just struck by, I think, I felt, you know, that I related a lot to her sort of over intellectualizing things. And, mm-hmm. you know, she's followed this, made a decision I wouldn't make. You said you would. I get it. That's absolutely you.
Yeah.
I still probably I'm 40, whatever. I still probably am now just finally making Felicity-like decisions. That buck the, you know, I'm serious. So I did not relate to her.
Yeah.
The whole premise of this, as we're saying, or just this dropping everything and defying expectations in your parents. But then her angsting over it.
Yeah.
That I totally, like, and how she's sitting those meetings with the school counselor, I guess he is, and just the mix of like anxiety and trying to convince herself of something, kind of knowing she doesn't believe herself. But it was just, that was not hard. Maybe it was hard to watch for me because I was like, oh God, I can totally see this.
Yeah.
Just really.
Yeah. That was something I really related to as well. She says in one of those meetings to her advisor, you've never had a student who felt, you know, guilty just about growing up, have you? Mm. I mean, that is what I found so relatable. So yes, I would have done like Felicity and just taken off and changed plans completely, done a 180 at the last minute. I've done it many times. But that doesn't take away the analysis and the, you know, because then you have to figure out a new plan. And it's still part of, even when I disrupt the plan, I'm still always on a plan. And so that was always part of it. And I definitely had that thing of feeling guilty growing up. And because she has a fight with her parents and they're like, she basically is saying she needs to pull away from them. I did that a few years later when I moved to California, and my mom was pretty devastated. She just couldn't imagine why I would be that far away from family. By the way, she ended up being right. I am not good far away from family, but I needed to, to separate and figure that out for myself and like figure out who I was apart from their expectations or lack of expectations that made me have different expectations. It's a whole process.
Yeah.
You so I could relate to that.
Experience that. And that's what she's going to have to do. And I don't know. I agree. I guess I thought that people maybe who made these bold choices then are like, they carry that boldness and they don't necessarily second guess it. But of course they do. Like you're saying.
Yeah.
And as we see her do, I mean, you're like, okay, I did this. Well, now what? I mean, and now you still have to live with that choice and the repercussions of it. And those are real and hard. And she's young and, you know, it's like it's a new place. And, I think the
boldness that I've carried forward from making ridiculous mistakes is not being afraid of making mistakes and knowing that it's never a mistake is just a part of what you're going to do next. Mm-hmm. And so I never have regrets, but I do analyze in order to never have regrets. I think about things so completely and it has safeguarded me against regrets only because I just had to make a choice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes do I wonder what a different choice would look like? Of course, but that's not a regret. You know, it's because I know why I made my choices. And
yes,
you know, and you I'm know willing to make a different choice at all times.
Right. And that's sort of what she says at the end to her parents. Like, the thing is, if I made a mistake, then at least it was mine.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you've analyzed it. You're like, it may be a mistake. Like she said, it, by the end, it's not like, oh, I'm now confident that this was the right thing to do.
Yeah, of course not. Never.
It's like this still, never. By the end, could be a colossal mistake, but it's my mistake. And
yeah.
I made the choice, and I will analyze it, and I will think about it, but it will all be mine.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, it was a lot in this one episode.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, getting to know her and how her mind works and where she's at. And I don't know. I think it's a very strong pilot.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. I love the scene, the Noel speech. It's my favorite, maybe.
Wait, did I ask you what team you were on? I was basically no team.
I said I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember. Okay.
I think it was Ben.
No team.
But. Well, I think it was Ben, but remember why? Probably what? Because he's like first, you know me. It was probably, even though I was just saying they weren't in love.
Yeah.
I think I probably was, and believe it or not, I think I thought the RA was too dorky. But
yeah.
Knowing my choice of like the dorky, wimpy, nice guys in a lot of these things, that's why I'm hesitating.
Would that have been
a reason for me? I don't know. I think... Yeah. I think I just thought Ben was also just dreamier, but back then,
also,
I don't know.
Also jerkier.
Yeah. See, so that's why I'm questioning my own recollection, because would I have gone for the jerky one?
Yeah.
Maybe not. I don't usually, but I don't know. I am Team Conrad. So
yeah.
Who knows? I wish I remembered. Mm. I mean, there's books I've read that weren't even that long ago that I can't remember. I don't know what it is with me.
Yeah.
But you're right. Maybe it didn't leave an impression.
That's how I think. That's what I think. And sometimes things are meant to be entertainment. I do the same thing. I have books. I was just looking at my list of books that I've read because someone was asking for suggestions, recommendations. And I was like, don't even really remember that book at all. I read it. I don't remember it. And sometimes if I finished it, it gave me something. It gave me entertainment, a moment. And it was worth reading because I am definitely one of those people that puts books down or stop shows or will just not do it. But if it doesn't leave an impression, then it's not one of the ones that rise to the top. And that's Felicity, the whole show for me is that way. For me, Carrie Russell rose to the top and clearly the world agrees given her long career in a place that is not kind to long careers. And so, but Felicity, the show,
Yeah. Well, I didn't finish. I know that. I mean, I did not watch however many seasons there were. But that sometimes does happen, particularly since, as I said, I was starting law school then. And
Do we want to talk about the hair?
Sure.
And how that came about? Do you know that story?
No, go ahead. Yeah. I do not know that story.
Well, everyone knew her hair was iconic.
Yes.
But she, in between the first season and the second season, she had a wig that was closely cropped curls.
Oh, I did read this.
And sent the picture to the producers as a joke. They flipped out. She didn't tell them it was a joke. She knew it was a joke, but they flipped out and was like, absolutely not. What are you doing? That's your trademark, your hallmark, who Felicity is. And then I guess the conversation just kept going. And first of all, you know me and my hair. I mean, cutting my hair off as a moment of like starting over or shedding or, you know, like letting something else change in my life is a huge part of it. And I am generally someone who cuts it after, just like her. She's like gone through this first year and I want to get rid of the stuff that has those memories in it for me. So it's like at the end, I'm good, cut it off. I know a lot of people use it to incite change. But anyway, the conversation continued. It sounded like something Carrie would absolutely do. She was open to cutting all of her hair off. Mm-hmm. And they did. I thought it was fantastic. I will say, like I said, it didn't continue watching the show because of the love triangle. But that scene where the hair is dropping, I still remember it, like whatever it is, 30 years later, dropping from her head to the ground. I loved it. I thought it was so badass. I absolutely loved it.
I was horrified. I remember that. I was horrified. I was like, what are you doing? Because I was with the people who were like, your hair is iconic. And also, as a person with that hair, I just do not believe that that curly haired people can have, that it's going to look good, that you're going
to
cut
that. Well, maybe that point is not to look good.
I know.
That doesn't matter. Maybe the point is to be a badass and to change something.
I know, but you see, it's like,
I've had haircuts that don't look good on me.
Yeah.
It grows.
I can't. And hair doesn't have that really. I don't have that relationship with the hair that you're saying as it pertains to changes and things like that. So I wouldn't have identified with sort of what you're saying, which is more the symbolic nature of it. I was just like, oh God, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But she did it all right. And apparently viewers are like me and they were like, I do not like the short hair. I would not have stopped watching for that reason, but it really bothered people.
Yeah.
She was so pissed.
I know it did bother people because like everything you're saying that it wouldn't look as good, but it is impossible to untangle that from the show not being that strong at all. And I think that was probably more studio notes. There's a lot of now rehashing that they had more interesting storylines that they weren't allowed to pursue, ones that felt like real college experiences that women were experiencing, and the studio shut it down and thought they were too controversial. They had advertisers pulled. This was back in the day when those things ruled. You know,
you're right. That's a really good point. In context.
And they went into some crazy time traveling and sci-fi, and they
which JJ likes.
Yeah, they did. They went into some weird, places instead of just you were better off. Maybe he was never supposed to do Felicity, and that was never going to fit for him. It's how I feel about rom-coms and women's fiction, that I like characters who are better, even though I love those stories and I've tried writing them for many years. Where I'm breaking out is putting those characters in something that is a different genre and that fits what people have an appetite for. So Alias, so Lost, you know, that worked for him.
He probably got more into his strike zone.
More, not into his, but maybe into what people, what the masses' appetite was for him.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's more the reverse. Because I still want to write rom-coms, but nobody wants them. Nobody wants my unlikable women.
Right. And so when he wrote more in The Lost or Alias, or then when he gets obviously to Star Trek and Star Wars or whatever, that's where the masses, that's what they wanted from him.
Yeah, to be fair, it is about expectations. And when people read a rom-com, the expectation is that it will be a happy ending and everything will be wonderful and people will have superficial obstacles and struggles. Now, again, I'm generalizing and the genre really is changing, but the set of expectations for a plane going down on an island is like all bets are off, right? So it is about what expectations you build in for the reader.
Yeah, but I think that's true, that I didn't think of this. Like, this is a coming-of-age story set in college. And if there's certain storylines that you can't tell because of advertisers or network TV, and we can imagine what they are, you're constrained then. There will be sort of a watering down or a limit to how much you can do then, we don't have if they were on streaming.
My bet is people would have survived her growing out phase had the show been really strong.
And I did hear that they wanted her to then get a wig, a longer haired wig, because people were freaking out, but she didn't want to do it, and she insisted that she just wait for her hair to naturally grow out. Like, you'll just have to wait.
Aries, I love her.
I know, love her. She's just like, nope,
I won't
too
be
bad,
false
people. yeah Yeah, oh. Too bad.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is I loved Noel's speech because the scene where he convinces her to stay because of this theme, I mean, of fate. Yeah. And I love that that got worked into this.
Yeah.
And, you know, this idea that, like, if you turn away from this now, he says, I promise you this, you'll be confronted by the same issue 5 years from now.
Yes.
Or 10, right? You'll be the fancy doctor with the fancy practice. You'll be married. You'll have like 4 phone lines, which made me laugh. And then boom, it'll hit you like a cold, blast of cold air. You know, what the hell is my life? And you'll be able to trace it back to this instant. And exactly, like, if you don't deal with this now,
you won't escape it. You never escape it.
No, no. Yeah. And I loved that.
Me too.
That's exactly right.
Me too. Like,
look at that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Great scene. Stay in New York or perish. So,
yeah.
But this was a pivotal moment, and she stays. Yes. But I loved that. It's this idea throughout it of just choice, which seems to be something we've been talking about a lot.
Yes, it does.
And it ends with the Sally, you know, writing her, talking back to her. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'm learning little by little that we decide what our lives are going to be. Things happen to us, but it's our reactions that matter. And I just felt the whole thing.
By the way, I mean, that's like literally a line in the astrology house, but yeah.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. So you...
No, you I mean, is that surprising? I feel like I've been talking about this for 3 years.
No, true.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the choice. And that's... and if you don't make a choice, like he says, like it's not going to go away. It's not like you avoid this.
Well,
you
she would have been making a choice, right? She would have been making a choice to go back home and go to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a choice. I'm struggling with that word. I'm literally in bed this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, eyes staring at the ceiling going, choice is just, it's just not the right word. It just not, isn't the, it's not the right word. I'm not kidding. I was like,
okay. Yeah. So we're going to workshop that.
Yeah.
Going to workshop that. But
it just has it's too loaded of a word. I don't know. Because she would have been choosing. She would have been choosing to go back.
Yes. But yes.
Do you know how to make a life?
Speech. Yeah.
That's really the question.
Right. But you're saying that his point was if she chose to leave, then she was making a choice.
Yeah. That's why choice is not the right word.
Yeah.
It's okay. More of what I say this morning to you that has no, I won't give any context, but it was like, okay, you got what you thought you wanted. Do you know now what to do with it? Do you know how to keep going? And she knew how to keep going on the med career, right? Like go to Stanford, become a doctor. Yep. Mm-hmm. Noel spelled it out for her. What she didn't know was the uncertainty in New York, but something had called her to it. And so find that, figure that out, go confront whatever's going to come at you there.
Right.
That,
and
you know,
confront your creative side. We didn't say that either. You know, it's like there's this mentions with these counselor of her artistic side. And he said, I've no doubt you'd be a fine doctor someday, but you're already an artist.
Yeah.
And so there's just like, that's pulling to her too. Like goes, like you're saying, go explore that. Then you thought you were doing this one thing, but maybe go check out this too. This other part of you. And I don't know. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
We will. We'll come around to this 42 more times.
Of course. Shocking. Yeah. And by the way, 42 more times on the podcast, which will mean approximately 1,700,000 times. In our personal lives. Exactly.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. We want to talk about love, real love, right? Mm-hmm. Scott Foley met his wife, Jennifer Garner, on Felicity.
Incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scott Speedman and Carrie Russell dated for a time coming out of the show. I always like those stories.
Yeah. So do I. That's making me think that maybe I was a Ben on Team Ben because I think of them. Now that you remind me of that, I think I was because of also influenced
the real
by
life.
The real life dating.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
But something terrible that I didn't know about came out of the show as well. First of all, there was a, it basically is real life Younger. You know the show Younger?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watched happened. The first season of that too. Only yeah. season one.
Oh, I watched mm-hmm. all of that. It got better and it got worse and I just couldn't quit it. Couldn't quit it. Yeah. God, I loved that yeah. that tattoo artist. He's just, okay. Yeah. Oh, anyway, Riley Weston was a 32-year-old woman who sent in her materials to be a writer on the show Felicity.
Okay.
But because of the way the world works, she did not disclose that she was 32 years old and instead said that she was 20 yes. years old.
I read this.
And you're not outraged? Or are, like, I'm like, I'm so outraged, I can't even, no. like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, I only read it in connection with us watching it now. I did yeah. not know of this at the time.
No, yeah. I don't yeah, think they no. talked about it yeah. at the time.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So she ended up getting fired mm-hmm. and because she had lied about her age, which is so incredibly messed up. It's the same to me. I think it's analogous to like a woman who was raped and asking her what she's wearing. What she lied about her age because there's an entire culture of ageism and people. Mm-hmm. And by the way, 32 now, right. I think we'd laugh at right. 32 being right. considered old in any way, but that it's obsessed with youth still as a culture. We are obsessed with youth and, you know, achieving at a young age. And they were so impressed by her, like that she had achieved so much and could write so well at such a young age, as if that is what's important, not the content, not the storylines, not the technique, the craft that she has. It's that she's young and she can do it. I don't understand.
So they found out that she was really 20, and that was the only, is that, I mean, that's the only reason they fired her was the
yeah,
lying
32.
About,
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Which I get it. I mean, and I think it was that, you know, the dishonesty, the, yeah. you know, whatever that feels like to people when they find out a lie, they feel hurt, they feel betrayed. She certainly was not intending to do that. She was trying to have a career. And the question is, was she good? And clearly they thought she was good. I mean,
yeah. Yeah. I think she was like a standout.
Yeah, she was.
Right. Yeah. On yeah. it. Yeah. yeah.
So
would
I
that
just
happen now? Would, do you think if that same scandal broke?
It's a good question. I yeah. guess I would ask whether someone would feel the need to lie now. I think yeah. that need may That's be fair. Slightly less, mm-hmm. but come on, I said it.
We're what if they lied about something else? Even your yeah. guess would be if there's, you know, is the deceit, regardless of what it is, for grounds for.
Oh, you know me. Firing. You know my
yeah.
answer.
I know you don't. Yeah, yeah. I'm just wondering today. Like, I wonder yeah. what. I guess it always depends what it is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I also do think she had a great point, which was the hypocrisy of it being completely industry acceptable for actresses to lie about their age or disclose or not disclose or kind of try to camouflage. And yet the writer in the writer's room, it was a black and white issue. She lied. Yeah. Forget it. You're out.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was pretty outraged at that and that she got fired instead of anyone talking about the culture and why it's so important to be successful at a young age and why, like, that's what matters. Like, that's yeah. what takes precedent over her clear talent.
Yeah. Well, it's easier yeah. to just, you know.
Right. Get rid of the person of who mm-hmm. can help change things always.
Yeah. It's much it. Than dialogue, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Taking on the bigger issues? No. No.
All right. Well, that's it for me. Felicity.
Yeah, Felicity. First in our cultural flashback yes. pilot series. There we go.
Love it.
We'll be back with more.